Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 110. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting beside me is Ken Phillips. What is going on, good sir?
Well, it's been a kind of a weird week, but good week. I've been off work, kind of a between jobs vacation.
Yeah, a little staycation between jobs.
It's pretty nice, I gotta say. Like, kind of not having to go into the job, and you know, I wouldn't want to do it forever probably, but just knowing that you really don't have any responsibilities this week, just kind of hanging out at home. I mean, we did actually do a lot of stuff, but I don't know, it's just fun to hang around around the house, I guess, for me.
And I will admit, though it was not a full week, there had been the intended sale of this condominium that we meet in.
Yes.
And for quite a number of these OPAs, I would say that it's probably roughly over half, because you came up probably for the first 10 or so. But yeah, we were supposed to not be recording here right now, but this is actually the third last show now we will do for this location.
That's right. This is the
due to some snafus and paperwork. let's keep it simple.
Yes.
Because everything does seem to be proceeding apace this week.
This would seem to be the third and final last show at Stunt Granny North Studios. And just going to knock on wood a little bit here with the table, because we never know until
until all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted.
Yes.
Though I have no T's to cross, I do have a couple of I's to dot.
I don't know if I ever we got into this on the show or not, Kevin, but when I can remember when we closed for the house that we bought, that we're living in now, part of that deal was that this was a Jewish couple who was getting their divorce finalized.
Uh-huh.
And in order for that to happen, they had to, like, have sold all of their property that they held together and then, like, split that money to, like, be able to, like, finalize the whole split.
Okay.
So we were in there signing our documents, and we were in separate rooms from the people who were selling to us. And the guy who is the title agent, like, we signed the papers, he gets up and says, "Okay, great, now we're just going to wait for the rabbi." Because they needed the rabbi to come in and also, I don't know, witness the sale and then, like, deliver the official divorce. But it was very unusual, in my experience at least.
Our seller has already pre-signed the paperwork, so I do not believe I need to worry about any of that nonsense.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised, but, you know, and a little trepidatious, I guess, because it does kind of add an extra level of, okay, now what's going to happen when you have a religious authority weighing in on this. You don't know.
Yeah, they're going to say they're going to say it's a bad sale price and they're not going to give it to you. Everything gets nixed at the last second by the rabbi.
I don't know.
Jackie goes into murderous rage.
It would have been pretty annoying. Luckily, everything went through just fine. So I assume they worked everything out. So just a little bit of last minute extra apprehension, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
So it's at least your guys pre-signed, so that takes care of that initial weird extra weirdness potential there.
Right. Thank goodness. I don't need any more weirdness than I've already had with this whole thing.
Yeah.
So,
like you say, the third and final last show here at Stunt Granny North. Tonight only.
tonight only. Ken, I am going to poorly transition to our first topic.
Yeah, this is a tough transition, but it's something that happened fairly recently here. Last week, I'd say.
Oh, well, the story was updated July 23rd, so it's a couple of days old as we talk here.
Okay.
Although updated means that it probably happened before that.
Yes. We are talking about an incident in Florida, which I guess is a...
It is a common crazy person state for us. I mean, we just had the guy riding on the hood of his car a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, that was crazy.
This reinforces the fact that in no way do I want to move to Florida. Like, I'm not even sure I want to be down there at any point in time. That place is crazy, with the capital crazy.
Yeah, I can't remember when I first came across, like, became familiar with the idea of Florida being somehow off, you know?
I do feel like that is a relatively recent thing.
I don't know if it started at the time of the Bush v. Gore election when they could not seemingly get their ballots counted correctly.
Right.
Because I remember at that time there being a sort of like, oh, of course, Florida sort of reaction.
Right.
For me, that was kind of my first brush with the idea of Florida being, yeah, something wrong with Florida. But one explanation I heard is because of the way that their like privacy laws or their police reporting laws work, where we end up hearing more about that stuff. Yeah,
to their stuff.
That's what I heard as an explanation of why there's so much Florida craziness in the news.
Gotcha.
And it wouldn't totally surprise me, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely crazy stuff all over the place. But I think this incident with a Florida man shooting another Florida man in the parking lot of a convenience store.
Yes.
Now,
what was the encounter that led to this deadly interaction here, Kevin?
Well, it's also crazy.
Yes.
I'm going to kind of be that guy. But if you shouldn't really be parking in a handicapped spot.
Okay, I agree, but...
But the result of this confrontation is completely outrageous. And the other thing about it is that because we've already seen this in the past in Florida, you're just going to go, yup. Like, the fact that the sheriff... Okay, so the incident was a black gentleman, an African-American gentleman, came into a convenience store with his girlfriend and two children. He took the one child, his three-year-old child, in to go get some snacks. And they had happened to park in the handicapped spot. Well, a white gentleman came in and parked in a normal spot and started to verbally confront the girlfriend.
Who I'm guessing was not in the driver's seat, probably.
It would seem to me when they showed the footage of them getting there that
he got out of the driver's side
door. Yeah, that he got out of the driver's side door.
That's what I thought. But yeah, so all right. I guess to go back to your point now, to me, like, you shouldn't be parking in the handicap spot. I agree. But at the same time, like, there was nobody parked in the whole parking lot. So that would be probably reason number one. They should have not parked in the handicap spot. But by the same double-edged sword there.
Right. Agreed.
It does not matter that this person was parked in the handicap spot.
Because literally every other spot was open.
You could park right next to it, I think.
It was And it's one of those things to me that it's not the only place that I've noticed this in, that the handicap spot is not always necessarily the closest to the entrance to any store.
Yeah.
Because you need to put in a ramp and things of this nature, I do understand why that ends up happening. But yeah, it's actually was less convenient for them to park in the handicap spot, which is another head scratcher for me. But yeah. Anyway, if you're coming from that direction though, and I actually do understand that part. Sometimes it's just the way that you enter into a convenience store parking lot. There's sometimes just easier places to park when you go in there from one entrance as opposed to another. Because convenience stores, quite naturally, do not have a large number of parking spots.
Yeah. And, but at the same time, I would say this is not a...
Why am I turning this into a parking discussion?
I don't know. At the same time, I'm going to say, I'm just to get us back on track a little bit. This is not a serious offense to park in this handicap spot.
With nobody else there, literally, except for the guy berating the people.
Yes. So then this gentleman thinks that he needs to confront her over the handicap spot. And, you know, it sounded like this guy who was the confronter had also done something similar at another location. Regarding a handicap spot parking. So maybe this person has family members who are handicapped or something like that.
I would imagine that.
But still, I cannot condone like this behavior to me. Like I understand that the stand your ground law in Florida, like the idea is that you don't have to retreat if someone is threatening you or attacking you.
Right.
You're allowed to use deadly force. But I don't even think he had to retreat to avoid this deadly force in this case.
The guy
pushed him over.
Right.
Which, again, I feel like was probably not cool, really. Like, to just come in there and, like, shove the guy down.
Correct. Yeah, it's not exactly the reaction that I would have had.
Yeah. But, you know,
but also the fact that I'm not sure that someone would possibly confront Melissa the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can never...
It is within the range of reasonable responses, I feel like.
But... Yeah, that race plays a factor in this one.
Well, and just like having someone yelling at your girlfriend when you walk out the store, you know, the mother of your kids and your kids are in the car with them and you're like,
it would be a little jarring. I can see
something like kind of taking over there and you wanted to like get this guy the hell out of there. And maybe you pushed him harder than meant to, I don't know. But, he did not follow up to that push with any sort of aggression.
No, he actually, to me, in the video, not that he stepped that far away, but he did take a couple of steps backwards, because that's where his car was.
Right.
And he was kind of backing up to the door, because he pushed the guy away from the vehicle.
Yes, to get rid of him.
To get rid of him so he could get in. And I'm not surprised it happens in some ways, just the way people talk about their love of guns on that side of the political spectrum.
This guy did have a concealed carry permit, so he was allowed registered
to use it.
To hold his, take his gun with him and conceal it.
Yeah, and unfortunately this is quite similar to the Trayvon Martin case with George Zimmerman, which they did reference in the article, obviously. And that's why it's kind of something of a bummer of a story, too. You're like, you literally know nothing's going to happen about it because of the law that they have and the fact they had a permit. But if that is your response to getting shoved down,
yeah,
like, you, A, aren't very manly, and B, like, you are looking to kill someone. Well, like,
according to the law, you have to be, at least what they read on that news alert, you know, clip that we saw, the person should be in fear of their life or serious bodily harm, which I believe means, like, you lose, like, a limb or, you know, an eye or something that is, like,
yeah, some body part.
Yeah. Seriously going to damage you. And I don't think there was really any reasonable fear of anything like that from what was going on. I feel like wanting to punish the man for pushing him, and he pulled out his gun and shot him. So to me, that should not be the law.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess, again, to go back to me, the sad part is that, unfortunately, like, the sheriff already said that this guy was well within his rights to shoot him.
Well,
which is complete craziness, because I agree with you, like, and we've already said it, the guy stepped away, like, he didn't step that far away, but he definitely did not follow up with aggression after the push.
Right.
And just, you know, he kind of wanted to get out of the situation. I'm sure he said a couple of words to him.
But the idea that there's not going to be any trial to this is kind of...
bonkers.
Sickening, yeah. But I guess there still is some hope, because they said that the Florida State Attorney General could decide to bring charges without the police necessarily beginning the process. Other words, they could kind of do it on their own and kind of bring it to trial.
I missed that factoid.
So, you know, I don't know. That would be, I think, a good decision to make, at least to kind of to do some kind of investigation. It just seems crazy to let this kind of go. Just by having more, you know, I don't want to really live in a world where you're thinking about people pulling a gun on you if you, I don't know, look at them the wrong way or bump into their cart at the, you know,
at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is certainly something that, I would admit that every now and again I may have a problem, with road rage. It's more, I don't know that it's because I drive fast, but if someone does some dumb shit, I'll usually try to retaliate.
Mm.
And honestly, I actually think it was more the ex-wife than the current wife. It's just like, dude, someone could shoot you. And it's just like, at some point I'm like, you start hearing about the incidences of that happening, you're like, oh my God, like, that could really happen, and I do not need that to happen.
No, that would be a dumb way to go.
Yeah, like, and I guess that's the other thing that keeps me from doing that. Like, it's just like, you realize that there are people, again, this guy was looking to kill, like, I think he is literally looking to kill people.
Well,
which is kind of fucked up.
I feel like probably in his mind, he is thinking he's going to protect himself, and thinks, you know, he is the justice, you know, the peacemaker. He's going to go out into the world and, you know, right injustice.
He is Wyatt Earp, and he dispenses justice as we see fit.
But the natural consequence of that is that he is putting himself in this situation where it's very easy, like, very easily somebody could get mad at him, and then he can
he could suffer the same fate just as easily, you know. And honestly, like, I guess if the other guy had a gun and he saw that guy confronting him, like, if that other guy shoots first,
if he saw him go for his gun and he shot him?
If the guy coming out of the convenience store has a gun also. Because in this scenario, I'm putting guns in both persons' hands.
Yes.
the push doesn't happen. Well, no, the push does still happen. If you see the other guy draw his gun, are you allowed to gun that guy down then? Because you realize you're in imminent danger?
As far as I know, that would be the case.
And that's kind of crazy, too, that like you're literally turning it into the Wild Wild West.
So it's whoever gets the fastest draw.
Yeah, who's the quick draw around here?
And like, then whoever wins, it's like the trial by combat or something.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I guess it would seem like that would be the way that law would work. Like, whoever shoots first is right.
Well, it would probably legalize dueling again, I suppose. We could end up going back to something like that.
I would not be surprised if Florida has already legalized dueling. Somewhere out in the swamp, and the person that dies just gets eaten by gators.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a somewhat... I don't know, though. In the swamps, you think that's what they're going to be dueling first?
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
It's a rough way to go, but if you're going to go for a duel, I think that committing to being eaten by an alligator as bait is...
Just to hide what happened?
Yeah, just to hide what happened. Like, you know what's going on.
Yeah, that's the price you pay. Like, that's the ground rules, you think.
Right, yeah, that's the ground rules.
The loser gets eaten by an alligator. Like, yeah, first rule of dueling, don't talk about dueling. Second rule, you will be eaten by alligator.
Exactly.
All right, well, we've unexpectedly cleared up something there.
At least we've cleared up the ground rules for dueling club.
Yeah, I am really hoping this stand your ground thing. I noticed that it is in the law of the land in Pennsylvania.
Yes, I did marginally feel better that it is not in Ohio.
Not in Ohio yet, yes. So hopefully we can keep it that way. And maybe even like take a second look at this in places where they've already passed it, because it just seems like, like you said, that kind of like whoever is the fastest draw wins situation.
And I feel like, because I know that I regularly listen to one pro-gun advocate on the Opie and Anthony show, and that being the Anthony half of the duo. And he always talked about how people would get charged for murder even though they were defending their house. And that, to me, seems kind of crazy. Like, I still think that you could be too trigger-happy at home. But I also think that it's crazy that if someone broke into your house and you shoot them, like, that's fair game to me.
Yeah, I wonder if it could be a case if somebody was, like, running away and they were shot.
But even in that case, you broke into their house.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, you are definitely in the... You are 100% in the wrong.
Yes. That's I think, for the benefit of society in general, it has to be a big no-no to break into someone else's house.
And I'm not sure how true that is. Like, that's one of those things where I don't always... It's hard to get around the whole gun thing at this juncture. Like, it's one of those things that I remember when I first started looking for apartments down here in Columbus, that I'm sitting there in the waiting room of the one complex, and I'm like, and I started reading about Columbine. You know, like, that was one of those things that I didn't really look at a newspaper that frequently, but I was sitting there in a waiting room and I picked that up and I'm like, oh man, that's crazy. Plus, the internet wasn't quite the internet yet at that point. I mean, it was getting there for sure, but.
So what were you, what was the upshot of that then?
Well, no, I'm just saying that it's hard to get around, the gun discussion.
Oh, right.
Just because it's kind of been around for a while now. You know, like, we've lived here for almost 20 years at this point. And, like, that to me is, like, one of those instances where I think the awareness of it became much larger, in my opinion. Maybe it's just because, again, the internet kind of made things more open and you could kind of read about that crazy stuff, because I do always subscribe to that theory, too. that news has not traveled this fast ever in humanity. And I think at times, now I don't think we're exaggerating on anything we're talking about at this point, but you know, sometimes it's hard to process. There's so much that comes in.
Yeah, and there has been, I know, a large increase in the amount of guns that have been purchased in this country over the last, I think, you know, 10, 15 years or something. So,
yeah, there were quite a few guns stockpiled over the Obama administration.
Yeah, so that's a little bit scary to think about them all kind of rattling around out there, potentially in the hands of people who are maybe have delusions of grandeur a little bit, kind of out there looking to get into some action, I think. It's not great.
No, not really a cool thing. And it definitely, I don't even know if I finished it, but like the road rage thing, like I've almost completely cut it off because it's just like, oh my God, like it's a real possibility. Like, I guess I haven't heard about a shootout on the streets here in Columbus, but it might have happened, and I don't need to get involved in that. Like, that does not need to happen. So, like, it is not, wherever I'm going, it yes. does not need to be gotten yes. to that quickly.
And conversely, I would say, like, no matter what really kind of parking situation is going on with a handicapped parking space, especially when there's no other, there's plenty of other spaces available. Every other space is available, really.
Yeah, quite literally every other space is available.
I would say it's not worth getting into it just because of the possibility for something like this happening. It's just not good to get yourself in that situation where you're confronting someone. I mean, I guess you could call yeah. the cops and give them their license plate number. That would probably be of benefit in some way. Like, they would maybe get a fine, and that could maybe convince them actually not to do it again. You yelling at them is probably not going to have much effect, I guess is what I'm saying.
No. I do not find that...
it's not like, oh, yeah.
Oh, anyone, and I guess I did find this out with my ex-wife, if someone does not want to change, they are 100% not going to change. And usually a stranger berating someone, to me, that has about a 99% failure rate.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you're going to be the one to convince the person to not do that wrong thing.
A lot of people are going to kind of bristle at that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really going to go the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this guy's a jackass. He should be in jail because there was no reason. Like, even if it's just like a manslaughter charge or something like that, deadly force in this situation was 100% over the top.
Yes.
So,
well, I don't know, Kevin. Let's think of a different situation then. Let's say you were in your gym working out, and there was a man there doing yoga without any clothes on. Would you say that that might be a case to use deadly force, or would you, you know, what would your reaction be there?
Well, since he already has his piece out, he might be a quicker draw.
You know what? You probably could lose that draw, I guess. Yep. Good point. Didn't think of that angle there, Kevin.
Yep. Yep. I mean, if it's going to be the Wild Wild West, you got to be a quick draw. And he is flashing his piece.
Boom.
But I did get a hoot out of the fact, like, I don't know how much mileage we can really get out of this one. But when I saw the headline, and it does crack me up. What's the name of that place?
Oh, it was
Planet Fitness. He was at a Planet Fitness, and it's called a judgment-free zone.
Yes.
So because they do not, I believe, have any mirrors up, because they're judgment-free.
Mirrors are notoriously very judgy.
Correct, and yes. It makes you sit there and pose in front of them.
Yeah.
And get judgy.
And then judge yourself, and then judge other people. And then perhaps you move on to the next stage, which is you are actually the jury of the people, and then, of course, the executioner of the people. So they want to kind of avoid that whole chain reaction, I guess, and just have it be a judgment-free zone. But apparently there is some level of judgment that still occurs here, Kevin.
Yeah, I am unsurprised by the fact that you need to be clothed inside of a building in the United States. Because I do believe that even in the gym that I go to here, there is a sauna, there is a steam room. They still request that you at least wear a towel.
I think that's even nudists will, like, bring a towel to, like, sit on when they go places. Because otherwise that is really just gross, I think. Like, you need to put something between your butt and whatever you're putting your butt on.
Well, you know? It just doesn't feel comfortable on the back if there isn't some type of padding.
I mean, I have some kind of padding back there. I don't know, Kevin.
Well, I do.
Speak for yourself, I guess.
I do not have enough junk in the trunk, Ken. So I do appreciate some nice padding on whatever object I'm sitting on.
No, that's true. I can't say that that's not true for me either. But
it is also true because of these things that at restaurants I do have a tendency to prefer high tops so that I can stand up at them, because I would have to say that roughly 75% of restaurant seats are not terribly comfortable for a long span of time.
Yeah, that is a problem. Of course, some people would find standing to be uncomfortable, but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, you got to mix it up, though.
Yes, I think that's a good strategy.
You just
got to
give your back and buttocks a little bit of a rest.
Sometimes sit, sometimes stand. Yep.
Yep. Well,
that's been our little corner, restaurant seating corner.
Yes. Yeah, because what do you say about this gentleman in a judgment-free zone? I mean, I think it's hilarious that he used this defense.
Well, I think that is like such a like d-bag, like it's kind of like screwing with you kind of thing to say. Like, well, what you said it was a judgment-free zone. I mean, come on. Do you mean it or not?
Yeah, it is a little douchebaggy.
Yeah.
Like I said, though, I guess I didn't get a chuckle out of it. But again, this guy was appropriately arrested for exposure and lewd conduct. I was a little disappointed. I thought this took place in Ohio, but it's actually New Hampshire. Because
it was a local
local news company tweeted this out.
They've gotten me before too, Kevin.
So that's why I clicked on the link. Honestly, I'm like, oh man, an O story about a naked man in a gym. I gotta go for it.
Right.
But no dice in that department, at least.
Well, I did read up a follow up article on this one. Apparently, the man's mother has been in contact with some kind of media and said that he has had mental illness since he's young, and apparently is needing help. So that's an unfortunate
addendum to the story. You really brought the story down.
Yeah.
I do not feel good about making fun of this guy as much anymore.
It is interesting because
if he has true mental health problems and he wasn't just being a douchebag. Because I honestly still, I know that I did things just to be provocative when I was younger.
Yeah.
So for someone to do this just to be provocative would not surprise me. And I don't know if she's trying to provide him with an alibi.
Or not an alibi, but an excuse, really. Yeah,
an excuse.
Yeah.
I am obviously unsure. But, you know, if he has real problems, I hope that that he receives the help that he so rightly deserves. Because that really, even at this point, Planet Fitness has kind of been around for a while. I don't think that joke really carries a whole lot of weight anymore. Like, yeah,
I get some new material, you're saying?
Yeah, get some new material. Okay. I think that is hack in 2018.
Well, Kevin is not one to mince words when he's handing out his criticism of scofflaws and potential mental problem havers. But this guy, I don't think, is married, Kevin, from what I could tell from this story.
I would assume if his mother is the one fielding calls for this situation,
yes,
that he is not married.
Right. He would probably have some other wife-type figure to weigh in on whether this was a good person or not.
Right.
A recent article I saw about the old whole getting married thing, Kevin, was a little bit surprising to me, in saying that the vast majority of people...
In 2011.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get into that then. That in this, according to the recent study, which, as you say, was 7 years ago.
Right.
The vast majority of people in the country...
Yes, 72%.
...think that when a couple is married, that the woman should take the man's last name. And I just thought, I guess, that it was less common than that. Like,
yeah, I
do know people who aren't, you know, whose the wife did not take the last name.
They
maintain separate names.
Yeah, I would have to say that there are a couple of couples that we know jointly that do not have the same last name. I know there are a couple others that I can think of that may not be in your orbit,
mm-hmm.
necessarily. So, yeah, I guess I was a little surprised by the fact that it's 72% of right. the people. Because, I mean, I guess it's always kind of interesting. In these kind of situations, I use my parents as a gauge. Just because they're much older, they're definitely a different generation.
Well, yeah, that's how it usually goes with you and your parents are usually a different generation.
Smart ass. But, you know, they do not seem fazed. Like, they've also known a couple of couples either to get hyphenated names... or for the wife not to take the husband's name,
mm-hmm.
and they do not react to it. So that's another one where I guess if their mind has been changed, I think that more people's minds would have been changed than 72%. Like if it was in the 50s somewhere, I would have been like, oh, okay.
But then again, your parents could still believe that a woman should change her name, but then not like have a conniption fit just because somebody does.
Oh, doesn't.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, that is one thing about any survey, and I did not exactly read the questions that they.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Asked of people.
Yeah. It looked like the details of the survey, the actual study, were behind a paywall of some kind. Or at least I don't know how to click right if that is not the case. But yeah, I wasn't able to find out like how many people they talked to, or
yes.
the questions that they asked.
Yeah, sample size and how you ask the questions. Because, yeah, I mean, you could answer you expect them to take the husband's last name. And then honestly... say the question after that, I don't care if it doesn't happen also.
But the other kind of...
See, it's their goddamn yeah, business.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's... I think it's wrong, but they can do what they like. Yes. That could be, I think, where a lot of people end up here. But the... I guess the flip side there, Kevin, they mentioned in this article that it used to be more common at times for the man to take the woman's last name. As a way to join their names when married, and you know, back in the old times when the wife's family would be of higher status,
Yeah,
it would be more common for the man to take the wife's name then.
Yeah,
in order to kind of get that glory,
that extra shine,
that shine there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they said it took place in medieval France and England, so it really wasn't even that. You know, well, I'm not sure how common last names are within the history of the world.
Yeah. So we can't go back like for thousands and thousands of years probably and still have even people understanding what last names are.
Right.
Maybe if you're not like a royal or something. But yeah, that's
it's
fairly recent that this was going on. So it is incredibly uncommon today, with only 3% of men saying that they took their wife's last name when they got married.
It is certainly, since I am the more recently married, I guess, of the two of us, I did offer for her to keep her last name if she wanted to, but it honestly did not cross my mind that, and that is Kia breathing, which everyone probably hears now,
getting in on the last show here at the old studio.
Yep. She's like barely been in any episodes of anything, but for some reason decides to make an appearance when talking about last names. Yes, your last name is still DeFrango.
See, that was good then, because like your furry children will all have the same last name and there'll be no confusion among them.
Yeah, but I guess the one thing I was going to say, it did not cross my mind to say, hey, I will take your family's name.
I feel like I thought about that after the fact, like after we had been married and Jackie had taken my name. But I was like, that would be crazy. I'm not sure I could do that. Like, it does seem equally as reasonable, really, as the woman taking the man's name. I don't know. But at the same time, like, when I actually think about it, doing that, I'm like, no, I don't think so. You know?
There are some times where I'm like, how did you come up with that first name for that last name? Well, and it was kind of funny that one of the guys in the article that changed his last name said that he did not like his last name. And that was one of the reasons why he was okay with changing to his wife's name. Because his last name was pronunciated Phallic.
Yes, it was not spelled Phallic, but pronounced Phallic. Yes.
I would have just said that it was, I believe it is F-A-L-K. Yeah, F-A-L-K. I would have just said it's Falk, like every other normal human would have thought when looking at that.
Yeah, I feel just like very at-hand solution there. You can just tell people it's pronounced differently. Although maybe, like, so what is going to tick off your parents more, you think? Telling them people to pronounce the name wrong or just totally changing your name? So I feel like just totally changing your name would probably be the bigger problem spot for your family or traditionalists. If that is what the thinking was.
And I guess I didn't even think about that angle, like, I guess your parent, like, to just change the pronunciation, like, do you need your parents' approval for that? I guess.
I mean,
like, why would they be that stuck on calling it Phallic? Like, wouldn't they go, oh, yeah, I understand what the problem is here?
Yeah, I don't think that they would necessarily legally have any kind of, like, input on whether, you know, how you tell people to pronounce your name. But at the same time, there could be some confusion if they're, you know, I don't know. I think there could be some confusion if they're, like, talking to your parents or, you know, I don't know. But if the parents find out about it, then they would not be happy, I think. Is how I'm imagining things going.
Right, but it's just, that one would, I guess I'm just thinking about my childhood and how many times people mispronunciated, completely misspelled or otherwise butchered my last name, which I still do not think is all that complicated.
No, it's pretty simple, really. I mean, it's basically spelled like it's
pronunciated. Like
it, yes.
But somehow there's always an E instead of a D-I, there's a D-E a lot. And the G got replaced for a C quite frequently. I remember...
People are thinking of Andy DeFranco there, obviously, I'd say.
Yeah, there was a couple of... I did get a couple of, are you related to Andy DeFranco questions in the college years. This was a
frequent... That makes sense.
Question. I'm like, no, it's a goddamn different spelling.
It's Maybe a different like, name, really.
Yeah, it's a different name. Like, we're not all related. Not all the Italians are related.
Hashtag not all Italians. But yeah, that's
so I guess that's the other thing that's kind of interesting to me. Like,
if you married Annie DeFranco, would you have taken her name?
I might have taken her name just to resolve the issues.
Just to avoid all these problems.
Yeah.
Get on board with, like, okay, this is good. This is...
Yeah, people misspell my name this way anyway. Let's just roll with it. Fuck it.
Wow, you missed out on quite a solution there, Kevin. You could have been one of the 3%, I think. Men who changed their name.
Yeah, I really could have been there. Ani, you are my secret love. Please. I know you're listening to this podcast.
You know, you never know. There could be like a sliding doors type alternate universe where that actually worked out. And, you know, it's Kevin DeFranco. And who knows what kind of
what shenanigans
nonsense he's up to. Yeah.
I wonder what the alternate universe Ken is doing then.
Hmm.
I would imagine we're not doing a podcast right now.
This is a pay-per-view? I had no idea.
Yeah, I am charging people now to come on to Stunt Granny.
Man, I need to get a cut of that. Because that was not explained to me.
Well, our webmaster needs to bump out a little more work before I start paying him, so.
Right.
He's a little behind on his work rate.
So, yeah, I mean, there's, I guess it kind of does make sense in a way, based on my own experience, but it would be, I guess, an interesting question if men were to change their name to match their women's name.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't really make sense to go either way, but for some reason it is tied up with, like, an idea of manliness, I feel like.
Well, and that was, to me, one of the, because I think that was that the same study or a separate study that talked about how the men were definitely perceived as weaker in pretty much either scenario, whether hyphenated, whether they too hyphenated their name, or if they took the wife's name.
Yes.
The stigma, obviously, considering that 72% of people approve of this happening, it is not shocking that, you know, they were completely fine with women changing their names in this situation.
Yes. Well,
so yeah, so there isn't nearly as much of a stigma too. And I guess that kind of hurts, like, I know, you know, there are definitely a lot of stigmas around, well, there still are, honestly. And I always tended to be okay with being on the rebel side of things and trying to rock the boat purposefully. Yeah, this is something that, boat rocking wise, again, I did not think about, and I understand that it's kind of rocking a big boat.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard thing to do casually, I think, like, it's like, oh, no big deal, but, I took, my wife's name.
Yeah, well,
you feel like there'd be,
it's just kind of a process too, just in general. Like, just because both of the wives have taken the DeFranco name, and it's kind of a pain in the ass. Like, just trying to get that change when you get married is something of a pain in the ass. And
but I guess why should the woman always be the one to do it then? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I do know one one gentleman who does record on this very network who changed his last name, but it was not to a wife's name. It was just his stepfather's last name.
Oh, okay.
So that was a little bit different of a situation, but he was more of a father than his real father, so.
Or biological father.
Yeah. I think everyone can kind of figure that one out from here. Well, because it definitely wasn't Chris.
Speaking of.
Or Shahid.
People and parentage and having different last names, Kevin. There was a documentary film about a story
that yeah.
has come out recently.
Yeah, this is another one where the documentary itself, I believe, was 2013.
Is that right? Because I thought there was one that was in theaters now.
I'm trying to look for... Oh, they started doing the documentary work in 2012.
Okay. So I think it may be... Oh, was there actually two movies about
yes.
the same subject? Is that what's going on?
Okay. Correct. Because this is definitely one where the headline to me was a little misleading. In that both study or two different documentaries came to complete different conclusions. About in this case, there was a specific in these two documentaries, they were both about twins that were separated at birth.
Yes, the triplets, really.
This specific story was about triplets that they cite, but the overall study was more about twins and multiple birth. Orphans.
Gotcha. Who are separated.
Who are separated. But yeah, this article definitely concentrates on this this triplet. And it would be crazy to have an identical twin brother. Well, and two of them out there.
Right. And to meet one of them in college.
Yeah, unbeknownst to you... that you have any siblings. Like, there are times when I'm like, oh, those two people kind of look, there's always that celebrity lookalike thing and things of that nature. But, identical twins are identical twins. Like, they look exactly the same.
Right.
Like, there's some things, because who is...
I feel like there have been a few people who, look pretty similar and are not actually twins. Like, is it Will Ferrell and the one of the guys, maybe the Nickelback drummer?
Oh, I'm not sure I am familiar with this one, Ken.
No?
No, I was trying to think of, what's her name from Game of Thrones has a body double that looks pretty close to her. The Dragon Lady.
But who are those two guys? And I feel like they do look pretty similar.
Oh, wow. Like, if there wasn't a difference in their face, because, that face looks puffier to me or wider than that face. Mm-hmm. And that's about the only difference.
Yeah, I mean, they look pretty similar. This guy maybe, yeah, you're right. The Chad Smith. Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer. That's who it is.
Yeah, they are eerily similar looking.
Yeah, so that's an example.
That is, I'm not familiar with that, but wow.
Yeah, Will Ferrell and Chad Smith are freakishly similar looking. And I think that was the clip, or the picture I showed was from a appearance on The Late Show that they made at one point together. Because
wow.
They do look a lot alike. I don't believe they are secretly twins, though.
Oh, right. In this case, they were really twins.
Yes.
And I guess that's kind of the thing. It's kind of crazy that they all look like of a very similar build.
Yeah, I mean, that's true too.
It's not like one was super lazy and fat and they just look the same in the face. Like, these three, because it was Bobby Schaffrin, Eddie Galland, and David Kelman were the three brothers separated at birth that are at the heart of this story.
And, yeah, the picture that they have here is weird because they do seem to, like, have the same exact smile, even, and, like, facial expression almost.
Like I said, like, there was at least that minor difference between Will Ferrell and Chad Smith that you could tell the difference, but you really need to think about it.
Yes.
These guys, I'm assuming that they're named left to right.
Yeah, that's usually the way they do it.
Right. But because otherwise, if they took that away, unless I memorized those three names, I would not know the order of them.
Yeah, it's hard to tell who's who for sure. And even I'm not sure how much, like, I mean, obviously they're dressed identically in this picture. Planned that out ahead of time.
Yeah,
I
would imagine, unlike other twins who are always dressed the same, that they were not put through this in their childhood.
That would be bizarre if they had somehow ended up wearing the same clothes at different times, unbeknownst of each other. That would be pretty wild, and I don't know how they would actually prove that or not. But yeah, I'm not sure if their hair ended up being the same just spontaneously, or whether they kind of ended up all getting it styled the same either, because their hair is all the same in this picture as well. But it turns out that they were separated at birth for psychological experiment, which seems pretty messed up.
It is completely 100% fucked up. I kind of, in some ways understood, you really do not get to, do a nature versus nurture study, in any other way.
Well,
you have got to be kind of draconian to have this pulled off correctly.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is probably like the most clear cut way to do it that you could think of, but.
Oh, right.
I mean, there could be a more subtle way to kind of answer some of these questions beyond, messing with people's lives permanently.
Yeah, because that was definitely part of the article, that there is a certain amount of time, and I want to say there was like past 3 months or something like that in the article, where they talked about there being a twin or a triplet bond that is always there.
Like, if you are able to bond by the time you're 3 months old, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, you're kind of psychologically connected at that point, because you are kind of the exact same person. Not kind of, you're the exact same person.
Well, and to like always be there as company since you were forever. I mean, like, as long as you can remember, right? Like, we have brothers, but, you know.
There are definite differences.
Our brothers were not always there with us, literally.
Oh, yeah. Different ages.
Yeah.
So there wasn't always.
Into different things, you know.
Yeah, into different things.
It's different when there's someone who's there with you basically through all the stages of your life. I have to imagine.
Right. That would certainly change childhood for,
and then to be deprived of that difference. For kind of like just for an experiment would, I don't think, feel very good.
Yeah. And it was kind of crazy with this one too. Bobby went to, two of them ended up going to the same campus. Like, that's still one of those things that kind of blows my mind, too, in this story. Because you really could be separated by a long distance from your twin, the way things worked out. And there are so many colleges to head to, it's kind of crazy that you both ended up picking the same one.
Yeah, it's a weird coincidence.
Because the one, Bobby, kept on being called Eddie when he went on to campus.
Yes, which was the his unknown fellow triplet who had already been on campus.
Right.
So, yeah. It's a crazy story.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I haven't, I guess I do want to watch one or both of these documentaries. Because, yeah,
I also would like to check one of these out.
Yeah, it's just a crazy story. And then they ended up finding out that they were later part of a triplet pairing and found the third brother.
Right.
Because I think they were tipped off to that.
Yeah. So they ended up getting together in the end, but I feel like they probably had to feel like they missed out on a lot of stuff together.
Yeah, well, and they did say that the one brother did not do so well after meeting up, and they just think it was too hard on him as opposed to the other brothers, who are still on this side of the earthly realm.
Yeah, I guess that he might have had a different kind of upbringing than the others, it seemed like. So, not sure if that answers any of the questions that they were originally trying to answer.
Yeah, because really this story was not as much about the testing that they were doing as just... there's just so much there that I can't even imagine, because I think the one said a 55-minute documentary. I'm not sure that you can jam as many questions as I'm thinking about into a 55-minute movie. About this whole experiment and what the results are and how many and what time.
Yeah, that's a pretty short movie. I'm not sure.
Yeah, how many of them met back up again at some later juncture? You know, how many people were not even told that they were adopted? I'm sure that that happened in some cases.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, wow. I just don't know how this could be allowed to go on. But.
Well, and there's that angle, too. Like, I'm like, seriously? That's kind of fucked up. Like, I kind of understand when people want to move ship pets in pairs. Like the two cats that we recently took in. Right. You know, there's just a bond there that shouldn't be monkeyed with. And it's kind of bonkers that, like I said, it is definitely the most advantageous time to do it. And maybe in 1978, when they were separating these twins, they definitely did not think about, I think it's called the twinning reaction.
Mm.
Or I don't know if that's the name of the moving or not movie, maybe. But, you know... I guess in general things were a little more haphazard when we were born.
That's true. I mean, I think that's probably true. They must have just not been able to slip this one through. Because I feel like there were still at that time some kind of
some standards,
ethical standards, yeah, and what you can do in terms of human experimentation. That's always got to be something that you're looking at, I think. It wasn't like this was during the Third Reich or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We weren't in Germany under military law.
Right, that's not quite what we were up to, so I'm just surprised that they got away with it.
Yeah, the Gestapo wasn't carrying this one out.
No, it still was pretty bad, though.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. Because, I mean, I guess all three brothers really, two of them were in good situations, one of them wasn't. And that's still another thing that's kind of wild to me, just in the scope of things, that some of these people that take in these orphans are just kind of whacked out themselves.
Yeah, I don't know why that happens, but it does seem that that does happen. That for whatever reason, people think they'd be good parents, they're not necessarily good parents. Go figure.
Yeah, and some of them actually get multiple children, too. Yeah.
So, on those happy notes, we should probably talk about the beer we're drinking here tonight, Kevin.
I believe this is a repeat, Ken. Possibly yes. A first. I did not have many cold beverages because I was out drinking a Hofbrauhaus Hefeweizen. I believe that it tastes like the original that is made in Germany. I do believe they brew under the same recipe and all that good stuff. So I would believe it. It is pretty much the same. And it's pretty tasty, but our beer that we actually consumed tonight, Homestead Brewing Stairmaster, the Session IPA that we talked about, I believe it's 4.4% alcohol. I do not remember the IBUs, however.
It's called Stairmaster?
Station Master.
Station Master, that's it.
Stairmaster.
I was like, that didn't sound quite right. But I couldn't exactly remember what you had said the first time. So, all right. In case anyone's out there looking.
Thank you for correcting me.
Yes. But yeah, I think it's a good beer. Lighter and just good for summer. So.
Yeah, and it's still blazing hot. Air conditioning is still running well into the evening.
Mm.
Even around these parts, a little further north. And, yeah, I guess that about does it. At DeFrango 11, at Gozer 33, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us. And have a good night.
Later.